This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. No Mike McCarthy presser today as they're doing the vaunted walkthrough. But my question for you is this. If the Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl, although I already see people texting in when, not cool,
yeah,
but fair. Who would you root for to win it all? Or would you just be like, football is dead to me? Or would there be a rooting interest for a team? Because I thought of at least one that I would be actively let's just say you go into the season knowing that the Cowboys won't win the Super Bowl.
God, what are you doing, man?
Save it.
Here's the problem with this segment.
I quit football once the Cowboys aren't the favorites or winning it all. Yeah. I just can't watch anymore.
Kev, I like you a lot, man. But this idea that they couldn't win the Super Bowl, it's baffling.
I don't even want to do the show anymore.
Yeah. This is a hypothetical. You know what? Yes, you do, because you have LaMadeline. You're going to be fine for a few
without
segments.
Knowing the Cowboys are going to win it all, which I feel like they are every day of my life.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to do this segment.
I'll try and fight through
for it here because I respect you.
Let's say we lived in this magical world where they didn't win the Super Bowl.
It is a weird world.
It is a weird world. You're right.
I don't have a single NFC team that I would root for. Not a single one of them.
I hear you.
And the Saints, I'm out on the Saints this year just because I'm not quite sure where the Saints are living.
Who'd you root for, Philadelphia or New England? In the Super Bowl,
I had to go with New England because I didn't want to pull for Philadelphia. As much as I hated that, I chose not to root. But if I was going to pick, I would rather New England win over Philadelphia. But then Philadelphia ended up winning. I do have two teams,
okay,
and I think both of them, Kevin, you could say I'm invested in.
Okay, I bet we have one of the same.
The Bengals is not one of them.
Oh,
unfortunately.
No.
Like, I would love to see it because that was really cool. But this year, I am going to go for the Colts because I've kind of been on this Colts train for a while. I would root for that if Shaquille Leonard can come back. That'd be really awesome for him to go ahead and get that rocking. And the Bills.
Okay.
That, for them, for me, it's like this story of they have the best fan base. Maybe not the best. I don't know who the best
fan
base.
They might have the best
fan. But they have a committed fan base. They've been beaten up for years. They are at the point, Mike, where they have the best, what we consider one of the best quarterbacks. They put together a great offense. Their defense is, they are built through the draft. A lot of that team is built through the draft. And then they said, what do we need? Von Miller. Let's go buy Von Miller now.
Yeah.
And so they built that thing. And like we talk about the Rangers all the time. Hey, you built it wrong. You built it by buying the player first, and now you have to find out whether or not your guys are ready. They were like, we're going to draft Tre'Davious White, Josh Allen. We're going to get all these guys. Then we're adding Stephon Diggs and Von Miller. So for me, it's the Bills because I think like that's they need it, man.
Okay, and I see it from the 214-903 and then another 903. Bills, Bills, Bills. Though the last 903 said to rub it in the Cowboys' face. I would not be personally offended by that at all unless they beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Otherwise, we asserted our dominance over them, and that's perfectly fine.
Multiple times.
My answer, the Baltimore Ravens. Because
one reason only, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Is I like Lamar Jackson, and I feel like people treat Lamar Jackson unfairly, and if they won the Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson at the helm, I would be excited for that, not only from a card investment standpoint, but just I would be excited because that's a guy that I've been rooting for, and for him to prove everybody wrong, that would be awesome.
At the end of this year, let's just say Baltimore doesn't win it all, and they don't really get that close, would you trade Dak Prescott for Lamar Jackson and be thinking that we have a better chance to win in Dallas if we had Lamar Jackson?
I don't know if I would. I think they're like kind of in that same general area.
I was wondering, like, kind of your thoughts on where Lamar Jackson sits in the hierarchy of quarterbacks.
I think they're pretty similar, but it was the part where you said, and they weren't particularly close either.
They went 10-7 or 11-6 and made the playoffs, but didn't do any damage.
I mean, the one potential benefit I could see to that is, like, Lamar Jackson has never had anywhere near the weapons that Dak Prescott has had at his disposal at times. So I wonder if that would make a difference. But yeah, I would absolutely be rooting for the Ravens.
Well, I'm rooting for. I literally am rooting for this.
I think I can guess this. Is it the Chargers?
No.
Oh.
Who's in their division, though?
Oh, the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Broncos.
Yeah. I want to see.
You like Patrick Mahomes.
I want to see Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady in the Super Bowl again. So for me, that's what I'm rooting for this year. I would love to see, if this is Tom Brady's last year, which I'm gonna think it is. I know that he can come back again and be retired for a month and go, this isn't the best thing. Like, I ate strawberries and I'm ready to stop eating them.
Is that all that he's got on his list? He's like, I saw the kids, ate a strawberry, I'm done.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm back.
Saw the kids.
I just think the greatest quarterback somewhat of all time versus maybe the next great one in NFL history. They met in the Super Bowl. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, they didn't block for him. I don't know if they blocked for him one play. But I would love to see it again, and I'd almost love to see that Patrick Mahomes beats Tom Brady. And, like, there's this handshake in the end of, like, I know Tom Brady would have a tough time shaking hands.
He would never do it.
But, like, there's this passing of the torch of almost, I am the greatest. I will probably always be the greatest because it's tough to get to my number. 7, right? 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe disputed, but yes.
And Tom Brady goes out not as a champion, but is making it to the Super Bowl one last time, and the guy that kind of takes over the spot as the great one for the next 10 years or so wins it all. So that's what I'd like to see happen in the NFL this year, is Kansas City versus Tampa one more time in the Super Bowl. But this time, Patrick Mahomes wins it all.
Almost right on cue from the 214. If not the Cowboys, then the Chiefs. Then we get some love for Corey's selection from the 817. The Colts. Is it Matt Ryan? Is it Jonathan Taylor? It just goes back to what you were talking about, them building it up the right way. Do you have a favorite Colts player now?
No, I think I am probably bullish on Matt Ryan still being good, and the fact that the Falcons were that bad last year. I know Matt Ryan is not quite what he was, but I think that he's still got some, like, he's very smart. He's a heady player, and he never really, like, when Shanahan left, he didn't quite have that running game. That team fell apart. So I think having a running game like he has, I think they're going to be a quality team. I think people are kind of sleeping on them. I was bullish about this last year, though, with Wentz. I was like, this is Wentz's chance.
Yeah.
And then Wentz was Wentz. I think Matt Ryan is a far superior quarterback to Wentz, and that team can be that good. They got to buy in on the guy.
I actually thought you were going to say the Saints, and did you see they were doing surveys across the NFL? There was an anonymous NFL source that said he thinks Justin Herbert is a bigger Aaron Rodgers, which, like, that's horrifying if you're not a Chargers fan. It's like, oh, yeah, he's as good as Aaron Rodgers, but he might be even bigger.
A larger version can do all those things, man. That might be the true comparison of what Justin Herbert is that, you know, if he can learn the game as well as Aaron Rodgers and understand all those things.
With the psychedelic drugs.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily that part, but just, you know, the ability to calm. And maybe that's it depends on what his lifestyle is. I don't know what his lifestyle is. He's a West Coast guy, you know? We had Jim Gray on, and he...
Aaron Rodgers isn't a West Coast guy?
We had Nance on. When you live in Wisconsin, are you a West Coast guy?
But he's from California.
Yeah. You know what? I'm done talking now. Thanks, okay. Reggie.
Oh, man. Reggie is rude. But I support you talking.
That's fair.
I like what Reggie did. You know why?
God, Mike, that's
because he said
helping.
That stupid word today about marshmallows.
That was like an
How's
hour
it spelled,
ago.
Mike? How's it spelled? There's no E in mallow, all right? Yeah.
Karma comes around.
Spelled marshmallow.
Reggie threw it in your face, and now you have to take it for the rest of the show.
I just want to let you know this.
You
does
just
not
live
represent.
Inside your soul with that. That Reggie just took it right
spell
to you.
Spell marshmallow.
He just dunked all over your face. Your nose is bleeding. I see your jock strap, which obviously you don't wear.
Okay, Mike, right, I got now, it. The views rim. Of Mike do not represent the views of the rest of the show.
He just mollowed actually, on your times. Like
what?
He just mollowed
you. Said it.
You
just said mollow.
Yeah, I know. Just to show you how it feels.
Wouldn't it be mallow?
Reggie, where's Aaron Rodgers from?
Oh, he's from Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's move on from that
from
to
the Bay Area.
I do see. Oh my God.
I see Corey's face.
I do see a lot of people rooting for the Chargers. I'm glad that some people have said the Ravens. I also even see votes for the Titans and the Texans.
Why?
Because they're from Houston.
Yeah, that's what I think is there's some.
Yeah, but why the Titans then?
Because they're saying they used to be, the extrapolation there is that they used to be the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, but nobody likes them for that reason.
I'm expressing
okay.
the experiences of the fan texters.
My bad, Kevin. It's not your fault.
I am not. You better watch it. Because you already hurt his feelings.
Oh.
I am not here.
Chico, California is like 5 hours away from the Bay Area, by the way. Not even close to the coast.
Right there.
Oh, my God. All right.
Back to you, Kevin.
You know
Reggie,
what?
Reggie, I still feel you like
you
won.
Now, you know what, Mike? Because of that, I am now actively rooting against the Chiefs now just because of this. I
oh,
wasn't
no.
before.
My life has been changed. Kevin's rooting against the Chiefs. What am I supposed to do?
Holy.
Were you rooting for Lamar Jackson? That would be your not rooting for the
yes,
Chiefs.
Yes, exactly. And I would really, really, really like to see Lamar Jackson win right there. From the Chiefs.
I'm a huge Steelers fan. That is
now,
weird.
That's weird.
That you were a
You've
Steelers
changed?
Fan.
From the 254 Denver. Too much Russ slander. That is interesting to me.
This is a chance to prove it, man.
Denver and the Raiders is, because you know, the discussion of is Russell Wilson done? And then with the Raiders, it feels like you never really got like Raiders time and they're like, the time is now.
If Russell Wilson, what does he have to do this year then to shut up all the Russell Wilson slander? Because if he doesn't do it, like if he doesn't, the offense doesn't run the right way, do you go, well, I mean, it's first year in this offense? Or you go, well, I mean, that's just what Russell Wilson is at that point.
Yeah, I think you have to at least win a playoff game. Which, I mean, if you make it out of that division, make it to the playoffs and win a playoff game, I think that shows some good evolution or some good advancement. Although I do also think whether it's Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, whoever, people have drawn their line in the sand on certain players, certain quarterbacks. That's how it always happens. And if you don't win at all, you didn't do anything. I think that would be a hard argument to make if Russell Wilson took Denver to the Super Bowl.
Or even the conference championship.
Yes, even if they lost, I think it would be hard to argue that, like, see, told you Russell Wilson wasn't the guy. I would argue quite the opposite. But same thing with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Like, if they make it to the AFC Championship game, I will take a step back, depending on how they got there, and wonder about reevaluating whether it's Carr or just all bowing down to their wide receiver greatness now or whatever the case might be.
I think it's my time to shine, fellas.
Yeah, you already shined earlier in the segment. Do
thanks.
It again.
From the 214 Detroit Lions, because I feel bad for Detroit. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to feel bad. They deserve it. They've earned this. They're as
Why?
An organization, they are wildly unserious and they deserve all the bad things that have happened to them. In the 21st century, so in the year of our Lord 2000, right? They've had four winning seasons. Four of them.
Whom's again?
The Detroit Lions.
Oh, the Lions, yeah.
Four winning seasons. Three of them were by Jim Caldwell, who they unceremoniously fired to hire who? Matt Patricia.
Yeah.
They deserve all of the bad things that are happening.
I did see, by the way, I think it was RJ Ochoa pointed out that Jared Goff has been on Hard Knocks. This is his seventh year. He's been on Hard Knocks three times.
What?
And was also on All or Nothing.
Wait, what?
Jared Goff has been on Hard Knocks three times. Says he was on with the Rams, I guess, two times.
Oh.
He was on with. He's now on with Detroit. And then he was also in the All or Nothing series.
Wow.
Once. Pretty crazy.
That is crazy. Now, I don't know if I want to root for the Dolphins or not because of this preposterous quote from Roger Goodell. Now, we talked about earlier he dropped the hammer on Deshaun Watson and talked about why they made the appeal and everything like that. But when he talked about the Dolphins, quote, The integrity of the game is critically important. I think the findings are very clear. This is about the Dolphins. And while tanking clearly did not happen here, we all have to understand our words and our actions have implications. We have to be very careful. Why? If there was clearly no tanking involved, why do you have to be careful? What words is he talking about? Mm-hmm. What is he even saying with this? Okay.
Can't say tank.
Well, but either the owner said tank games or he didn't. Mm. Because if he did and they didn't tank, he was still trying to get them to tank.
What if he was in a room and he just said, you know, should we tank? Now, is that considered the owner kind of...
It'd be great if someone tanked games.
Yeah, now the owner's put it out there, like the idea. Is that a suggestion or is that a question?
I think that's a suggestion. I think you are actively discussing or trying to tank games. So the idea that Roger Goodell is like, no, well, clearly nobody tanked. Well, not because of lack of trying from the owner. Mm-hmm. The coach didn't tank. The players didn't tank. The owner tried to incentivize them. What are we even talking about?
Tanking.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Texas Rangers manager, Chris Woodward, right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, brought to you by TXU Energy, energy for everything. It is the manager of the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Now, you usually ask in this moment, how are we doing today? How are you doing today?
Doing all right.
Okay.
Doing okay.
Okay.
Obviously, would like to just watch some video on Mr. Verlander and kind of figure out what we can exploit with him. Got some ideas. We can figure it out.
You know, it's interesting, Woody. He's been pitching for a long time, and I know he's coming off of a major injury, which you'd never know. Is there anything that looks different from him from 10 years ago to now?
It's pretty incredible, honestly, just watching him and just his execution, man. He's still throwing hard. He doesn't throw the 100-mile-an-hour. You know, I faced him, you know, at the end of my career, and he was 99 to 100 in the eighth inning after 110 Jeez. Pitches. But, I mean, he's still 94, 95, but just his execution, man, it's so important for a lot of our younger guys. You know, you watch Martin, obviously, who's been great for us all year and just how he executes, and you see this guy at 39 years old. Being able to execute the top of the zone with his fastball slider. I mean, he just doesn't miss that much. Doesn't miss much in the middle of the plate, but you got to know what you're going out there looking for. And he's a little bit predictable as far as like where he might throw the ball, but it's still tough to hit because he executes it.
How different is it for a hitter? How different in that box is 99 to 100 than typical, like 95? Like how much can you kind of explain that feeling?
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's stood in the batter's box, I guess, if you get 85 compared to 90, I mean, it's a big difference. So obviously high school kids or college kids or, you know, everybody, I feel like those 95 now. But the difference between 90 and 95 is pretty significant. And I know that, you know, when I was playing, it was, if a guy threw 90, it's like, all right, this guy's pretty good hitting. If he hides it or if the ball kind of has some movement or something, it's different. But if it's a good pitch to hit and it's 90 as opposed to 95, it's a big difference. So you talk about 95 to 100, it's pretty significant. So now, listen, like I said, with Verlander, it's 95, I think, plus. We usually kind of grade that out as above average, and anything above 95 or around 95 is you gotta honor it. You can't just go up there and like be a little bit late on it and still be able to put it forward. Maybe nowadays it's a little bit less because guys are so used to seeing 95, but it's there's a step above when it's 95 plus.
Now, the depth of, obviously, the starting pitchers for the Houston Astros, we saw it last night, and clearly with goes far beyond Verlander. Do you look at that level of depth and with what you're working with now, with what y'all have in the minor leagues, and think, this is what we hope to cultivate, and this is what you need to compete at a consistently high level?
Yeah, and we know that. I talking about it last night on the bench and just before the game, talking about their team and our team. And listen, we're going to get there. It's coming, and I think everybody feels that and everybody sees that. We have a ton of depth coming in the organization. Now those guys have to come, and the guys that are here, they have to develop and they have to learn how to pitch at this level at a high level. The Glenn Ottos and Dane Dunnings and Spencer Howards are the guys that are here. The Cole Reagans, these guys got to take a step forward, and some of them are younger. Obviously, Cole Reagans just got here. Spencer Howard's still finding his way, but the Dane Dunning and Glenn Otto's, they have to take that step forward. And the Cole Wins and Jack Ladders and Kumar and all these guys come in, like, we're going to have a lot of depth soon. And so, you know, this, yeah, the team that we're playing is pretty good. Like, they've done it right, and they've been good for a while, but we're going to be at that point soon, you know, not only on the pitching side, but on the offensive side as well. We have some really good hitters coming. But, you know, we're in that phase now where we got to get these guys developing and we got to get them better. I think that's really important for the next, you know, month and a half to really get these guys some experience and some development at this level and really challenge these guys and see what we got. The Bubba Thompsons and Ezekiel Durant, Josh Smith, these guys got to, you know, figure out some things and figure out how to survive and perform at this level.
Since you mentioned Dane Dunning, I'm just really personally curious, has he earned his spot in the 2023 rotation, or it's not going to work like that?
I think that's too early to tell, honestly. I would like to think so. He's still got some starts left, and, you know, he's had his ups and downs this year. He's had some times where he's really solidified things for us, and there's been times where, you know, the velo dipped and he had to make some adjustments to get back kind of where he needs to be. And I like where he's at right now, but this is a real challenge for him the rest of the year. Like, he's got to try to maintain that. At times, you know, you saw the velo dip down to 87, 88, and that's going to happen at times, but I think it was a little prolonged, more than we'd like. But, you know, I think the reset kind of helped him out a little bit, got his body feeling back right. He's got to maintain that, and that there's a lot of work that goes into that. There's a lot of dedication, commitment, you know, to being the best in this game, and that's what the best in the world do, man. They commit themselves every day to that process, and I'm proud of him. He's done that. But these next however many starts he's got till the end of the year, he's got to show kind of what he's shown the last couple of starts, which is, you know, the stuff is better, the execution is better, but he's got to finish the season out. He's got to finish strong.
So, Woody, I know everybody goes through stretches, whether it's the greatest hitters of all time or you know, everyday big leaguers. Leody Taveras is struggling right now at the plate. Can you talk about maybe what has happened right now with him to get him back on track on where he was just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs. And, you know, the one thing you want to see young players do is not panic. And, you know, I think with him, you know, there's been a little bit of, you know, he's been pitch tough. I think once you start having success in this game, especially nowadays, teams are quicker to figure you out because they go into, you know, staff meetings, they go into pitchers meetings and say, this guy's hot right now. And it may be, you know, not the best hitter on their team, but we know, hey, this guy's really hot. We have to figure this guy. We can't let this guy beat us this series because he's the hottest hitter they have. Leody probably fell into that category with a few teams that we played. So maybe there was a little more emphasis to get him out, to not make mistakes to him. And he's got to adjust to that. I think, you know, he works his butt off every day, and you just see his confidence is down just a tick. But to get that back up, you know, he's got to train. He's got to work, you know, got to prepare, got to go in with a really good game plan. He's not facing a chump tonight. Like, you know, sometimes it gets harder, you know, the more you struggle, and today he's got Verlander. He's got to figure out how to solve Verlander and have a good plan and be a really disciplined approach to him. Sometimes Leody, you know, when he struggles a little bit, he'll expand or, you know, end up swinging and missing, and you just see the confidence level go down a little bit. But the challenge for him, and I think it's a challenge for a lot of our younger guys, to figure out how to be consistent every day, even when you're not feeling at your best.
Our guy Chris Woodward joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I'm kind of curious how you feel this season is different from the last two seasons with this club, and like what aspects you think maybe y'all have grown and gotten better at over this time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're more competitive. I think let's call it what it is. Like, you know, we've had a lot more competitive games and probably been a little bit more frustrating, I guess. Because we did come in, you know, I set the bar pretty high as far as expectations to win, and still not relenting on that until the season's over with. But, you know, I think that it hurts more, you know, with the closer you are, it hurts more when you have some of these losses and some of these wins or, you know, games that you're really, really close but can't quite seal the deal. We know we were, you know, maybe a few pieces away. We'd love to add some key pieces to, you know, we obviously added some this offseason. But we know we're not completely where we want to be a, you know, a World Series caliber team. And I think this year that there's been a lot of growth, having to deal with those expectations from a team standpoint internally. I think it hurt guys. We go through those stretches where, we'd lose these one run games or, we'd lose games late in games. It's tough, but I think it's been a really good learning experience for a lot of us, for obviously the team, trying to figure out how this team can become a winning team. They've had to bond together. They've had to go through some ups and downs, some tough times. So I think a lot of that, and honestly, we're getting the chance to see, some of our future here now. We're seeing Bubba come up here. We're seeing Duran, some of these guys, Smith, Tavares taking a step forward. I love what Nate Lowe's done. A lot of our bullpen arms have performed really well, the Brock Burks of the world, and then some of these younger starters. So we're getting these guys a ton of reps at this level and, with expectations to win. And we're still not going to obviously relent, like I said, until the season ends.
Yeah, well, and I think that is something exciting, watching Bubba Thompson come up and, we see all the names down there that are like working their way towards it. And so it looks like there is this chance, this opportunity to turn that corner. You talked about being that close to the Astros and being almost there and turning that and becoming a legitimate playoff contender every year. How important is it for you to be at the forefront of that turn whenever they do make it around that corner?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know how this industry works, and I try not to think about that. But I obviously give everything I can to this organization, and especially to these young guys and to this team, trying to get them to understand what it takes and all the little details that it takes to become a winning team, because it's not just about okay, we're just going to get better players and then we're going to magically win. Like, we got to make sure all of our processes are in line, and do we have the right processes in place? So when we do become a contending team, a truly contending team to win a World Series, like, all those things are in a row, and then they're lined up. It's really important, and that's a learning process for all of us. But, man, I just see the growth in a lot of these guys. And some of these guys I've had for 4 years. Some of these guys I've only had for one. So it's to see, these guys continue to fight and push, and the conversations have been, I feel like have gotten better as the season's gone on. Would love to see this thing through, because there's a ton of talent coming. Just getting them, once you get these next wave of guys coming in, and the guys that have had, development now and have gotten big league time now that are starting to figure some things out, the next wave will come after that and then after that, and it's just going to never end. So that's exciting. It's an exciting time. Like I said, it might be the most difficult time right now in that transition phase, but would love to see it through, obviously.
That's it, man. That's
never going to end, Corey.
I love it. And I'm going to take this a little lighter and back to the basics here then, because I've been talking to Mike about this. My son is going into high school. His dream right now, Woody, is to make the baseball team, be in the baseball class. His tryouts are this week. Mike was like, look, at this point, they just want to see if you can run, throw, and hit. Do you have any words of advice I can give to him as he's trying out this week on what he can do to impress coach?
Yeah, do all the little things. Listen, he said it best, like, yes, they're going to be impressed by the guy who can run, can hit, can throw. But be the one to, to do all the little details, talk to your teammates. Be the one that has all the intangibles that maybe hustles, maybe goes a little bit extra, asks for a little extra work. I'm not saying, like, kiss the butt of the, of the coach or anything like that, but just the one that pays attention to a little more details, talks the game, asks questions, all of those things, picks up trash in the dugout after. I mean, just little details like that just show that you obviously have high character and that you're willing to kind of give a little bit more than anybody else. Those are important. And I'm like saying that you're not brown nosing or anything like that. You're just saying, hey, whatever it takes to win this game, whatever it takes to help this team win, I'm in. Those things matter. And then obviously on a high school team, those are the intangibles I look for. I look to see who's talking with their teammates, who's engaged, who's listening when, you're talking through instruction, whose eyes are on you, who's not giving you, the look around, okay, I got this, I know, this is simple stuff. Simple stuff is what wins games. And so when you get high school kids that, understand that and believe in that, that matters to, obviously, coaches.
But when you say pick up the trash, you mean general trash, not all the sunflower seed shells, right? Because that's too much.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can get out a broom and a rake or something and help out. But I mean, this is your land, man. This is where you perform your duties, man. I just Yeah, take care of it.
Take some pride in it, Kevin.
Take care of your field. Take pride in your field.
I just realized my lack of pride is why I sit here and I'm not involved in athletics. But no, you're 100% right about that. We appreciate you jumping on with us, and we will catch up with you next week as well.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Woody.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Chris Woodward. You know, just real quick, and I know we got to go. It feels like a lot of times people are predisposed to, like, if you have an interview guest every week, is they're like, oh, this person's boring, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes people have said that about Woody. Is I always disagree with that. Like, I think he answers the questions. And, man, what he was talking about right there when you didn't directly ask him about his job status, but it felt like it was about his job
status.
Sure was. And I thought it was a great way that you asked that question. And he understood exactly what you meant. And he goes, look, I understand the nature of this business. And he goes, but of course I want to be here because of X, Y, and
Z. There's a lot of good things on the future, hopefully.
And he said, I understand how bad it feels right now, or I understand how far we are away from the Astros. I thought that was a really honest interview, whether you like him as the manager or not. With the KNC, which personally I do.
I do.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, how about some Mike Likes It?
Did we steal third base with a cell phone? Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, and that, my friends, is undisputed. It's time for a little Mike Likes It.
All right, well, let's go back to yesterday's Mike Likes It at the end. I talked about how I need more Jesus in my life.
It's progressing.
We ended up starting, and I say we as in Justin Atolo, started a Twitter page that is called Christian Tolo Positive Vibes, and we have 102 members in it.
I'm one of those.
So far, it's really cool. And the picture that Justin decided to use is of the pitcher crying and the kid who got hit by the pitch yesterday in the Little League baseball game as he's hugging the guy who's struggling with accidentally hitting the player that's hugging him in the head. So pretty cool there. It helped me out a lot this morning. Just woke up and got on that page and just saw a whole bunch of positive stuff. And then, I tried to post something positive on there. So we can have, instead of the Trayvon Diggs experience or how, a lot of the experience is on social media, that we could have more of a positive experience and then lifting up the word of Christ, Lord and Savior.
Can I throw something out there real quick? And I know, like, there's some people who are like, well, I'm left out or whatever. Like, if there's something you're passionate about, you should check with people across this station. We have a lot of different passions, and a different group could take hold as well. But I am in this group.
All right. So that is that. If you'd like to join, just go to, I guess, my Twitter, which is at Mike Bassick. I believe that I posted it up publicly that you could join and be a member of that. Now, Next thing I want to talk about, I know we just talked to Woody. I know we've done a baseball segment before. I know people are getting tired of baseball because they're getting excited about football. I totally get that. So I will try my best for Mike Likes It not to throw too much baseball in there going forward. But I will tell you this. I can't stand football practice as major topics for four straight hours. Until they start playing more games and it becomes more regular season, I, Mike Bacsik, struggle with getting really passionate about watching guys jog around in shorts and saying that they're going to be awesome or not awesome because of the short jogging that they did. Just like in spring training, I get excited. I'm excited about football right now. I get excited about baseball in March. But I can't really just go into these huge breakdowns of what happened when Jack Leiter threw a bullpen and he's going to throw no hitters next year, win 20 games, because I watched a 10-minute bullpen session where he topped off at 82 miles an hour, lightly throwing the ball, and I'm now going to make this glorious remark of, Jack Leiter's figured it out. If you watched his 8 minutes of soft throwing a baseball, he is going to be awesome now. Or he's horrible. You should have seen him throwing so soft yesterday. It's like, yeah, because it was practice. All right, so let's talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. And let's talk about Rodolfo Castro. As he is sliding into third base, and Reggie pulled the audio for me here. Reggie, let's hit cut 15. And what happened when Castro slid into third base?
Watch when Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now, that's a first. And there's Adam Hamery. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
Yeah, so the umpire...
While he's playing?
Yeah, so the umpire points down on the field and says, hey, you know, when you slid, your cell phone here is laying on the ground. So he put his cell phone back into his back pocket.
Actually, I think he gave it to his third base coach.
Okay. Did he forget? I mean, I'm wondering, I didn't see interviews after this, but here's what I think. I think it's illegal to have a cell phone in the dugout or on the field because you can relay, or if you remember, the Boston Red Sox got in trouble because you are getting a live action feed in the clubhouse or right behind the dugout. There is a live action feed for replay purposes. If you want to challenge something, if you want to see something, you know, how it happened really quick. And they're like, hey, we can see how you can cheat with this. So we need to make sure that there's not smartphones or smart watches in the dugout to make sure that there's not cheating going on. For example, and I don't know how much you feel this is cheating or not. Let's just say Castro goes to the outfield and he pulls out his cell phone real quick. And the outfield coach is like, you need to be over 10 steps or, hey, no doubles here.
Do you think that's cheating?
I mean, you're going to tell him that anyway.
You're trying to get his attention in the dugout. I guess, like, if the guy's too stupid to look in the dugout, then maybe you should be hurt by that. As in, like, I know this would be really tough to do, but can you imagine if this year we're going to be starting Jalen Tolbert, most likely, to start week one. What if Jalen Tolbert had a watch on, and as he went to the outside, he was able to look at his smartwatch and it said real quick, slant inside here. He's playing you on the, like, cause he's like not sure that he's, but the wide receiver coach can see, hey, you got to read this here and your read to make sure. Right. I mean, this is like Laquon Treadwell couldn't read anything. And so that's why he's pathetic in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is he's too stupid to really understand football, but he's really athletic. Well, what if I'm able to tell you what to do all the time? How much can that help? And so if you were to have a smartwatch or maybe a smartphone that you pull out of your pocket and you're like, all right, they're going to snap the ball in 5 seconds, but let me read this real quick. Okay, he's saying to do that. Cell phone back in.
Let's go.
And I'm not saying there's too much going on there, but I just thought it was interesting because I thought that was something that they banned from being in the dugout or on the field.
Do you let your kids have phones in the dugout in baseball at your
no stuff? As far as I know, no, but we just got the, I can't believe this, but Jake, who's going into eighth grade today, started eighth grade, he just got a cell phone on Monday for the first time. Yeah. And he's the last kid to get a cell phone. Like, we don't allow it until eighth grade in our household. So one of the coaches on the Dallas Mustangs he's playing on is like, yeah, it's on Team Snap. And my son's like, I don't have a cell phone, so I don't have Team Snap. And the coach was like, wait, what? You know, like, you're 14 years old and you don't have a phone, you know, and we were just like, it's just kind of our rule in our house. Like, it's fine. You don't need a phone until you, like, need one. And we feel like at this point, like, 14 years old, the going around and practice after school and everything, we're like, okay, you can have a cell phone now. But I think most kids get cell phones, I don't know, at 5 years old, or maybe, I don't know, is Noah getting one as soon as he's born?
No,
or
definitely, 12, definitely 12, not. I think,
12 or he's 13 had one for about 3 weeks, Mike.
It's 12 or 13 in our house. But with 13, Avery, Avery likes to have his earbuds in almost all the time. But when we go practice on the baseball field, I'm like, take those out, dude. Like, there's no reason for you to have them in right now when I'm trying to, like, help you in with instruction and stuff. So there are times, though, I'm always curious, when do you just leave your cell phone away? Do you always have it on you? I'm not wearing it on the I'm not having it in my pocket on the baseball field. Probably not even taking it out of the clubhouse to the dugout. Why do I need it?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. And I wonder if the Pirates at all get in trouble for that. I bet they don't.
He put out an apology saying, like, I have no idea, blah, blah, blah. But I that's a valid question.
And he did hand it to, like Reggie said, handing it to the third base coach. Kind of was like, maybe he forgot it was in his back pocket. But that's a little bit. I mean, you can feel definitely a cell phone in your back pocket. It's not, and it wasn't a small cell phone either. Okay, so I didn't know this, but I confirm this. And by confirming is I still don't 100% know, but this is what I'm hearing. Remember yesterday I was talking about how Josh Young, well, in September, there's not really baseball happening in the minor leagues. And then I found out that September baseball for AAA goes until the end of September. And for Frisco, I saw September 18th is their last game. It used to be right around September 1st to September 5th would end pretty much all of minor league baseball except for your playoffs.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore. Pretty much A-ball goes to about September 10th. If you look at team schedules, it differs just a little bit everywhere, but pretty much that. Then you go a week longer in AA and you go a week longer in AAA. Well, so I asked and I said, has this happened before? Like, no, this is the first year. And I said, is this because of the lockout situation or because they give guys Mondays or days off in the minor leagues? And so I had Jared Sandler do some work. I called a few people. And from what I understand, from now on, that's going to be a AAA schedule is going through September. Now, here's where people don't understand this at all. And I have to try to explain it without you having any clue on how this feels. And it's impossible to explain is September baseball is so different than the other 5 months. When you get called up to the major leagues and you're playing in the month of September for the first time ever, you're like, my God, am I tired and fatigued? My body can't handle this.
Okay.
You're really struggling with that one extra month. And what I would compare it to here, which I know that most of you don't do sports talk radio or radio in general listening, is doing a 5-hour show is almost impossible. I know that G-Bag has to do it.
Preach.
But that one extra hour, people don't even understand what just one extra hour does to you mentally. Can
I don't
somewhat
think people understand what doing the show generally is. Not to be the dude who's like, my job is so tough, but talking for 4 hours isn't the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. And 5 hours is pretty impossible. They're asked to do it, and Gavin does it, you know, great. But, I mean, it's kind of like that. You guys have had to do it, fill in and do 5 hours. It's a very different thing.
It really is.
That's the way for baseball is September is you're just not used to it. And so I do think it's great as you're preparing these young prospects to possibly play in the major leagues at some point is now all your AA and AAA guys are playing September baseball. So maybe I'm thinking it won't be as tough of a transition if, as long as they play AA and AAA baseball, let's say for 2 years. You play a year of AA, you play a year of AAA, let's say for Jack Leiter. And then I know Jack Leiter is going to be in the major leagues next year, but probably not opening day, but at some point. But I do think it helps out that he's going to have to rack up some September innings so his body gets used to that. And then when you're an older veteran guy and you play a minor league season and you don't make it to the major leagues in September, you feel cheated because you're like, I still got a little bit left in me. Why are we not playing this month? So I really do like that it sounds like baseball's going to go to this, is that AAA is pretty much going to be played the most part of September. They might back off of it a week or something, but pretty much you're going to have September baseball in the minor leagues, and I know I'm out of time here. I was also wondering if it's never been that way because minor league cities are little towns. They don't get a lot of fans. And when school gets back in session, they're like, we really don't want to have minor league games anymore. We have high school football going on. We have kids back in school.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get the fans anymore. We struggle to get fans as it is. And now you're asking in September to get fans again for another 20 or 30 games. I don't know if it has to do with financially not wanting to play in September.
Interesting stuff right there from Mike Bassick as part of Mike Likes It. Coming up next, we'll jump back into football because it's time for the C Block with Corey Majors.
Hey, mental health and the Cowboys, they're pairing up, man.
Oh.
Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.